best gift that you can give him, and that is just to give him praise. And I know we've been worshiping, but at the end of this message, we're going to gather to the front and just going to offer up praise to God, because he has everything. But the one thing that God demands of his people is just that one thing: give me praise. Because when we praise him, oh, his presence is real. It enforces in our minds that he is God alone. Even before time began, he was God. He didn't need anything, but he wanted a relationship with someone that could decide whether to or not to. Not angels. They're programmed. They're angels. But he wanted somebody that in a world of choices would say, I choose Jesus. I choose Jesus. And oh, doesn't he reward those that make that choice? Thankfully, I had a pastor who preached the message the way it's supposed to be preached. And a lot of them do. I'm thankful for that. But I was able to see in him an example of faithfulness, that he was true and real, and he practiced the way he preached. And it caused me to see through him the true gospel message lived out. And I'll tell you, if this thing works, if you put your heart into it, it works. If you back up and decide to do it halfway, it's going to be a disaster. But when you put your heart into it, it works. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. John 10 in verse 7 through 11. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He stands as a sacrifice on behalf of his sheep. I want to talk about abundant life. Abundant life. Let's ask the Lord to bless this today. In Jesus' name, Father, that you would touch your word and appoint it to us as individuals, Lord, each one particularly as you will. God, let your word drive us, lead us. Allow it, God, to help us today and lift us up. Lord, let your spirit of anointing be in this house. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Everyone said amen. So be it. You may be seated. Abundant life. John 14 and 20, At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. That day is this day, by the way, that we know how this comes to pass. He's in the Father, and we're in him, and he's in us. That's the complete picture of the gospel. The powerful yet simple plan of God within. Now, we've driven around town and we've seen lights and displays and manger scenes, every other kind of decoration. Some of you went to the parade. I missed it again this year, and I don't think I've made it yet, but there's still a chance. And it's not that I don't like it. It's just always something's going on, you know, something else. But we look around and see all the sights and the sounds of the season. But without the gift of the Spirit of God living inside of us, think about that. If it weren't for this very great privilege we have of the Holy Spirit within us today, the many scriptures that are bound in the Word of God would be very meaningless if we didn't have this. And I really believe it would probably cause a lot of frustration if we did not have this privilege that we can enact by simply seeking for God in the power of the Holy Ghost. Then it really, the Bible is a great history lesson with a lot of great stories, but that part where we're able to be involved in it is amazing. Our calendar shows that these two holidays, are very just months apart when you talk about the birth and the death. On our calendar, they're less than 4 months, really. December to sometime in April. This year, maybe the second weekend of April. I'm not sure the first. I don't know. It depends. And then, after that, 50 days from resurrection is the day of Pentecost. Not as celebrated, but we do, because we realize that day is also very significant. And we know that the day the Lord was born was not December 25th, and it's celebrated that way. I guess there has to be a particular day. But in our Bibles, the birth and death and, the resurrection, from the birth to the resurrection was about 33 years, 33 and a half, we might say. Jesus being 30 years old when he began to select his disciples and he began to minister. Such a very short measure of time when you think of a life lived in only 33 years. Somebody dies at the age of 30 something, it might be called an untimely death. It wasn't planned, it wasn't expected, and that's half of a life and less even today. But it's a powerful yet simple plan when we realize that in that very short amount of time, the central theme of salvation for all of mankind was brought to fruition and established. All right. In that little length of time, really, from 30 to 33 and a half years, the Lord walked on this earth and he drew to himself some men who could duplicate the gospel that he was giving them. And even at his crucifixion, they were so confused. They thought, how can this be the end? And Simon said, I'm just going to go back to fishing. And of course, doing what he knew to do, he found Jesus on the shore saying, y'all come up here and eat. I've got some fish already baked for you. We know the stories all too well. But in his death, there was not a lot of understanding. The understanding came later. And many times the Bible will say, then understood they the words that he spake. They come later. We don't always get the understanding of things even now. But we are born with an ear for hearing the shepherd, as our text. And John 10 and 10, I am the door of the sheep. He's not saying, I'm the door of the sheep if they follow the plan of salvation. He's just the door of his sheep if they want to become his sheep. There's a door they got to come through, and that door is Christ. But here he said, they got to hear my voice. And I heard his voice as a child, but I heard his voice before I had gone through the door. Because you got to hear his voice to beckon you to come through the door. He made it necessary, or I should say he made it possible, that we can hear his voice and then we can respond. Well, I'm thankful today that he gives us that ability before we know him truly. I want to read Proverbs 20 and 27 to you. It says, the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord. It doesn't say the spirit of God. It didn't say the Holy Spirit. The spirit of a man, when that man is born as a baby, he has a spirit that is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. The Bible depicts the Spirit of the Lord as a light. Well, this simply means it's something that illuminates. And when we are young, when we are very small children, our consciences are very sensitive. We have a tender conscience. It's okay. You don't have to keep it. You can begin to walk over it a little bit and break rules. And after a while, your conscience, the Bible says, becomes seared. As with a hot iron, it's seared, it's burned, it's not pliable, it can't hear anymore. Your conscience can be seared. But at a tender age, we feel a tug very easily. And it's very easy for children to respond to this message of salvation because they're tender. And depending on the choices in life that we make, that voice, that spirit that God gave us, it's a light. It's a candle. It's not a torch. When I was a kid, y'all may remember in the years ago, 60s, 70s, they had these giant spotlights that they would get in a parking lot of a store grand opening, and they would at night they would shine them. Remember those? And all when I would see those, I thought something awesome is going on there. And I always wanted to go to the source of those lights. As a child, you just was amazed at such powerful lights. You know, every kid likes flashlights, and in those days I was no different. I ran the many batteries down just on flashlights in the daytime, just because it was a light. You could look under the bed, you could look in the closets. And so here I was amazed by these lights. And one day I remember we're driving and I'm just in the back seat going, I hope, you know, fingers crossed, we're gonna go to the source of the light. And I could see us getting closer and closer, and I was probably saying something to Mom, please go to the light, you know, and I don't know. She heard the voice, you know, the voice, but she's after a while you're immune to the voice in the back seat. I know that. And so we come to the shopping center, and sure enough, there's the light, and there's these men, and they're operating those lights. And there's nothing but a parking lot. And I was so just disappointed because I thought the lights was going to have something going on, at least a carousel, a carnival, something happy, something exciting. And all it was a store, and it said grand opening or something like that, or giant sale. And it was furniture of all things I had no interest in. And I thought, so that's what it's all about. Is they're trying to get people to come and buy recliners and sofas. And I just sit in the back seat, probably really disappointed, because when we came to the light was just saying, this is not it. It's in the store. It was a bright light that served me no purpose at all. Well, the light that we get when we're born, it's just enough to cause us to understand there's another light. It's a conscience. It's that thing that says, search it. Search the scriptures. Search the scriptures. You're drawn to a church. You're drawn to worship Him. You know there's the good and the evil. And you may have been raised in a very difficult lifestyle to where, you know, it's very easy to know that that wasn't the way. But you might have met an aunt or somebody's mother or schoolmate's friend. And somehow they had something. And that light in you just sort of singled them out and said, they got something there. These are good people. They seem to have their minds on things differently. And I don't know how you was raised, but there's in us an innate ability to be able to identify light, be able to identify something that would draw us into a higher place. The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. Yes. As we get older, that light grows dim, but it's still a light. And that little voice, that still small voice, that little dim light can still speak at times that we need it. Have you ever walked out of a very loud environment and you walk out to utter silence and like you can still hear the noise? And you see someone talking to you, but their mouth is moving and you've just lost your hearing momentarily. Because the noise did something to your ears, and they shut down. And I remember in a very loud church service one time in Florida, and I was sitting, fortunately, not really, right where the speakers, they had arranged speakers, they wanted to fill the house with sound, and I was right where a speaker was. And when the preacher was preaching, I could hear this, just this, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost. Honestly, I was just hearing muffled sounds, and I got through, and my ears had stopped up. And I, you know, you go to church to be better. You go to church to maybe be healed. And I walked in healed and walked out afflicted, and I had some issues with my ears. And we don't want to testify about that too much. And I'm not going to tell you who the preacher is. He's a good guy. He's a good preacher. But I just had an issue that night with my ears saying, we can't deal with this noise. We're going to have to shut down shop for a while and until you get into a better environment. And later, I did. I had to get out of there and have my ears helped out a little bit. Because there's only so much your ears can hear. But when we get in utter silence, I was telling my wife the other day, I said, do you remember as a child laying in bed at night? Now, there's not a lot of places anymore that are just pure silent. Our house, apparently, I was just a kid, 3 years old probably. And I just remember, you know, laying on this bed in Grand Prairie, Texas, and I could hear it would start going, shoo, 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 shoo. It'd get louder and louder. And I just thought, what is that sound? You're little, you don't know. And all I had to do was go, rub my fingers, and the sound disappeared. My ears stopped being that sensitive. A few minutes later, I'd hear that rushing sound again. I didn't realize till many, many years later it was my heartbeat. Way too long, it was my heart beating. And so it's a good sound to hear your heart beating. And but the more silent things are, the more sensitive your ears can become because they're listening for everything. A man was trying to break into our house one time, or at least I thought he was. Many years later, I'm 12 years old, I'm laying down on the pillow, and I hear a ch-ch-ch. The way the sound somebody would make when they're trying to scrape away the putty from the windows to break a window out. I didn't know what he was doing, but I knew somebody's out there trying to get in the house that people are living in. I just ludicrous, but I thought somebody's trying to bring it. And I kept hearing that scratching sound, and my heart was beating. Didn't hear the heartbeat, I just kept hearing that scratching sound. And it would just scratch, scratch, scratch. Every time I'd blink, it would just scratch, scratch. And I was hearing my eyelashes on the pillow. Now that's sensitive hearing right there. And then I blinked a few more times and I just got happy because I realized there's no man out there trying to break in my house. It's a little house. He would have not found anything that a pawn shop would have even wanted. My dad's tools were locked up probably in his car. So there was no value there. But amazing what you can hear when things are silent. But when we get real still, that's when that voice of the Lord. See, we were born with that spirit that God gave us. So if you have the ability to perceive that true voice of truth when it's spoken, that is because God put that in you to be able to identify that with this spirit. God put that spirit in us, and there's something that tells me I'm doing the right thing. I'm in the right place now. Amen. Around the globe, it's you see those around the globe that hear and respond to the voice of truth when it's spoken. Our missionaries don't have to go there and say, let's try to let you understand something. There is this spirit. It's very easy to go to other countries and preach to them about the Almighty God because we're already programmed to receive that Almighty God. In other words, that's what He puts in us, is that spirit that identifies with truth when truth is spoken. And that's an amazing thing for us. Without it, where would the identity be? And there's many times there's a need for us to repent of what we've gathered into our soul and pour that out and say, God, forgive me of those things. And all the cleansing and that blank canvas that we have, then He's able to come in with His Spirit and bless us. And it's just amazing to me the stories I hear from around the world. People respond the same way we do here because God put that at birth. We got that spirit that tells us how to understand when something's straight up, when something's plumb, when something's right. And thank God for that. I was saying my daughter, she posts a lot of funny things on Facebook. She's hilarious. And she said this the other day. I don't share her post with you. You know that. But this one here. She said, I'm not trying to brag, but I average about one message a month from somebody trying to convince me to lose weight using some unhealthy method that in return helps them get out of pyramid scheme debt. You kind of get what she's saying? She goes, somebody's always trying to, you need to join this. And she goes, but what they're really doing is saying, join me and help me to build up my upline, and you're going to be the downline, and you're going to have a right leg and a left leg, and you're going to get both of those with people getting orders, and we're going to all get rich. And, you know, once a month, I don't know. I can probably believe that. And if you're here today and that's what your thing is, I'm not against that at all. I've got family members that did very well in things like that. They didn't do it off me. If they want to see it fail, just bring me in. And I'll shut it down. It's just the way I am. I can't do anything. I'll cause people to run away from it. But multi-level marketing salespeople, they'll have an agenda. And my wife and I fell prey to that three times without even knowing. All three times it was the same thing. And we would go, I'd come over for dinner. We just want to show you guys something. And I still didn't pick up on it. Show you something. We just want to have you over for fellowship. And we get there, and all of a sudden the dry erase board pops out. We both look at each other. Oh, we got taken again. And it's sad because we're going to have to listen to this and tell them, sorry, sorry, sorry. But, you know, we are MLM averse. We can't. We're not able to do these things, you know. I've watched YouTube videos of televangelists. You have too, so don't point at me. You've done that too. For the purpose of entertainment. Because there's out there in another outer fringe, there are those that are in crazy town. They're crazy. That's how they got on YouTube, crazy. Boring stuff? No, I don't want to watch it. But crazy things, and they have churches and congregations, and the things they do just make me go, are you kidding? You're getting away with this. I could not do that in my church. I just don't think that would happen and that would work. But it makes me laugh. But the thing that people understand about these evangelists is they have an agenda. And if the agenda is not lined up with the Word of God, it becomes very obvious that their agenda is something else. Yes. They may be trying to promote themselves. They may be promoting something they want you to purchase, a piece of I heard a person literally talk about these pieces of wood came from the cross of Christ. It's verified. We have a signed document. It comes from Jesus' cross. And do you think he sold some? Yes, indeed. Water from Jordan River. Yeah, water, and it's in a bottle, and it's a little sediment in there, and you can check it out and have a science tested. It's been tested and proven it's from the Jordan River. They've got an agenda. Yes. And it doesn't go very far from just money. That's pretty much money. Money, 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 money. And there's something about our ability that you know, we understand that that's what it's about, but there's this underlying, to me, sadness in that many people are gullible and unable to tell the truth from a lie. And they buy into that, and that becomes their experience that in a year or so they're running from, saying, no, the church is polluted, the church. And that's the danger of it all, because they group them into one label, calling them, that's the church. And that's why we must endeavor to say, God, keep us pure, keep us preaching the truth, where it's not elevating people, but it's elevating God. Amen. Lord, let me never get elevated to a place where I'm going to fall and embarrass myself if I elevate myself. But if we humble ourselves, then he's going to be lifted up in our humility, because only God can help you. Only God can help you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. My last point, 3 points. You know why I had 3 points today? Because I didn't want to keep you all day long. So I thought the best way to a briefer sermon is to have shorter notes. You're welcome. You are welcome. Little exposure there, just letting you see how things work up here on this side of the desk. But Jesus is God in the flesh. We realize that. God, robed in flesh, however you want to say it, who came to give his life that we may have abundant life. Because I got life. But now I've got abundant life. I like my abundant life because it's added. It has added to it the Spirit of God. And I have a chance to have the nature of God within me, because I'm sitting where he wants me to sit in his presence. See, there's no good in sitting in the back seat with the Lord. Now, I don't use a car analogy too much here. It don't hold water all that much. But as far as being near the Lord, I don't want to think, well, I'm second rate, so I'm going to be in the back seat. I got a cousin. I had a cousin named Eddie. And I want to tell you, don't be like Eddie. He was my father's oldest sister's son. And he was older than me, younger than my brother Jerry, so he would come to spend time with Jerry. And I liked Eddie because he was fun. You know, you like the people that do crazy things that you would never do, they're more fun. Right. You just sit back and clap, and that's Eddie. He did the stuff. They went out driving in the car, and Eddie's sitting here on the right, and my brother Jerry and his uncle, our uncle's driving. And they're talking and back and forth. And my brother Jerry was probably learning life, you know, all about life. My uncle was the fun uncle that always, you know, had the sense of humor and had colorful stories that mom didn't want us hearing all of the stories that he had. He was my dad's youngest brother. And I stopped there. But so they're talking, and Eddie is in the back seat. Just, hey, listen, here's what happened. And Eddie's trying to talk. And they won't pay attention to Eddie because he wasn't up there where things were going on. I don't like if I'm going to serve God, I'm not going to be that little guy in the back seat saying, please listen to me. I want to be where the power is. I don't want to be in the after seats, the afterthought seats, but I want to be up there where something's going on. And finally, Crazy Eddie, I'll call him that respectfully today. Crazy Eddie thought, he said, if you're not going to listen to me, I'll just jump out the window. And they are going down the road. All right, I'm going out the window. I got my arm out the window, he said. I got my leg out the window. I'm going to jump out the window. Don't be like him. Don't be like Eddie. And they did not see when he, these were larger cars in those days. You could actually fit in a window of a car. And he said, all right, here I go. They're just talking. They didn't see when Eddie jumped, and he tried to jump in the direction the car was going so it wouldn't be quite a tumbling situation when he hit the shoulder of the road. But in Eddie's words, he said, I did pretty good at first. He said, I hit the ground and I tried to jump. He said, and I jumped a long ways. He said, I hit the ground again, and I managed to jump that second time. He goes, but I was losing my balance. He said, and then I took like three huge steps. Now, he's going 40 or 50 miles an hour, I guess, but this happened all within about a half a second. He says, and then I just laid out and hit the asphalt and skidded to a stop. It makes me shiver the pain that had to have been. And somehow they heard the scream or something, I don't know. And they turned around to say, what? And realized the wind is down, Eddie's gone. A cloud of dust over on the side of the road. And they see Eddie getting up. And they pull over and they back up. And of course, they're laughing. He's not. Skinned him up, messed him up. So just moral of the story, don't be like Eddie. The back seat is not a place, and this really does apply. I'm not just trying to entertain you with a funny story. The back seat is not the place to please God or yourself. Many people get frustrated because they're just not quite in it. But see, if we do this thing the right way, and we get all in, and we're right there next to the Lord, right there where He can influence us by His Word and by His presence, by His Holy Ghost. When we're right there, then the blessings that He has for us, He will give us, and we get into an economy where we're receiving, and then we're worshiping, and we're drawing near to Him, and He takes us even to the valley of the shadow, but He's with us in the valley of the shadow. Then He takes us by the still waters. He's with us there, and He lets us lay down in green pastures, but He's with us right there, and it creates glory in our life, and it creates a relationship, and the economy just continues to build until you've got trophies that God has given you in your life. You've been an overcomer where you used to struggle. You helped a brother and a sister to see this is the way to live for God. I'm telling you today, the joy of this season right now is that God came robed in flesh that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Can you say praise the Lord? God, I want to thank You for the life that You've given us today, God, that we might have abundant life in You. Amen. There's not much more precious, anything more precious than a newborn baby. But that new birth experience that this whole story is about is really never mentioned in Christmas carols. Christmas carols have a lot to do with this jolly man or away in a manger, and oh, that's all right. The manger stories, I love it. But that's sometimes what the Christmas songs are more about, because it's about the birth of Christ. All right. But we sing every Sunday the songs about the second birth. Amen. Because see, that birth had a meaning besides a cute baby. Savior of the world. Right. Savior of the world. Right. But the follow-up to the Savior of the world is relationship with the Almighty God. The Almighty God. Jesus says, I'm with you. Amen. To His disciples, I am with you, but I'm going to be in you. Yes. In me, you are going to have life, and you'll have it more abundantly. Peace on earth and goodwill to all men. See, we got that reduced to just a Christmas card. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Oh, what is that goodwill? Think about it. When you show goodwill to somebody, when you show goodwill, you show good favor to someone. What's the best way and what's the most that you could favor someone? Do something for them. We're very limited in showing favor. I do not have a rich uncle. And I am not anybody's rich uncle. So what I can do to show favor has its limitations. But I have a God. And when I tell somebody, I will pray about that. See, there's the part. Goodwill. Oh, you can't limit what God and His will can do. It's goodwill towards all men because Christ within. Thank God it's not just about the babe. He wasn't a baby very long. The Bible skips from the birth to 12 years old when he's disputing in the temple, just giving us a glimpse of who this God robed in flesh was, confounding the scribes and the Pharisees, asking questions they couldn't answer and wondered how in the world did this child learn this stuff? They had no idea. And then it picks up when he's 30. So the Bible doesn't tell a lot about his childhood. We know his father died. Mother had remarried, had some half-brothers and sisters. And he learned to be a carpenter. They called him the carpenter's son. That we don't have any particular stories about him and details. We don't need that because he came because of the last part of his life. He came for that years, 3.5 years, where he trained his church, his disciples. John 14, he says, "These things I've spoken to you while being present with you," verse 25. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." My peace I give. You want to talk about a Christmas present? Christmas has the word Christ in it. It's about the birth of Christ. Amen. And the greatest Christmas gift is right here. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Because the giver of good gifts is our Heavenly Father. Oh, and He changes our life with what He gives. The greatest part of this story is the peace that Jesus came to bring to a lost world. A peace that only comes by the power of the Holy Ghost within us. So we can swerve by it, we can sample it, we can feel it, but until it's filled us, until it has filled our souls, that's not the completion until that happens. Right. Then we can walk in newness of life. It's for this lost world, the peace that comes by His power. It's easy to take it for granted after years of living for God, but today I want to be thankful for that peace that passes our understanding. A peace that comes when turmoil has not stopped. That's what God can do. The problem is still going on, Lord. I asked you to remove it and you didn't. He brings peace to you in the midst of a storm. In the midst of the storm, then He brings peace to you. Only a God that stands outside of the dynamics of the waves and the ups and the downs of life and the cause and the effects of the emotions of men and women. He stands beyond that. He made us. We're in His image, but He can stand beyond that and give us peace. We walk with Him, we'll walk in peace. But my flesh, your flesh, that mind we have, we got that from Adam. Remember that? We got that. But see, Christ in you, the glory of God. The glory is, I got the flesh, but Lord, you've given me a power to live above these things, to be an overcomer. To know that I've got in me that seed, that hope for another life. As we stand, the Holy Spirit within truly is peace on earth, goodwill to all men. See, you got to think about the birth of Christ had a meaning that world at that time, most of them missed. most of them missed. The wise men, they had read and they knew something about his birth. They had a hold of some scriptures from somewhere. They took Jesus on the eighth day to show him to the priest, and the prophetess Anna was there. Just a few years after her marriage, her husband died, and she dedicated herself to the cause of the Lord and to his service until she was in her 80s. And she knew who this was. She goes, "Now I've seen him. I've seen the Christ child." Those who walked with the Lord, they knew what it was about. They knew the significance of it. "My eyes have seen, Lord, your salvation." I really don't believe any Christmas season is complete until we bring it all together in Christ. Because I'm incomplete and you're incomplete until we have Christ within. The power of his wonderful Spirit. Today is a Thanksgiving service at Christmas because I want us to bring a praise. I'd like for us to bunch in around the front, and we're not going to take a long time. But I would like for us to offer to God the greatest gift we could give him. The gift that he expects. The only thing God asks of us today, the only thing he asks, is just who he is. That's all.